Sex is the life force energy that runs through us all. Can you use sexual energy for your spiritual evolution? Or perhaps for emotional healing? Is it even possible? Clinical sexologist Dr. Martha Tara Lee will explore all these and more on Eros Evolution on OM Times Radio.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Eros Evolution, where sexuality and spirituality meets. This is Dr. Martha Tara Lee. I am a clinical sexologist based in Singapore, and my company is called Eros Coaching. That's EROSCoaching.com. Today's show is titled Gender and Trans Talk, and we have Lee Harrington once again. So he is coming onto the show for the second time. In today's show, we'll be exploring the differences between sex, gender, orientation, sexual behavior, romance, and intimacy, as well as relationship types. This show will discuss Kathleen Jenner, who is now being declared by some as a transgender leader. We'll also be talking about trans terminology and look at how gender and sexuality awareness of self and others is an opportunity for personal evolution and compassion practice. Our guest, Lee Harrington, is an internationally known spiritual and erotic authenticity educator, sex, gender explorer, eclectic artist, and award-winning author and editor on human erotic and sacred experience. He has been traveling the globe from Seattle to Sydney, Berlin to Boston, teaching and talking about sexuality, psychology, faith, desire, and more. He is grateful for the opportunities and love he has found along the way. He is an academic, outspoken philosopher, sexuality podcaster, kink and bondage expert, transgender man, and has been blogging about sex and spirituality since 1998. You can find him on passionandsoul.com. So welcome, Lee.
It is a delight to be back on the show, Martha. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming onto the show. So just before the show really properly begins, I just want to comment about the news that has just happened over this past week on Wednesday. This online dating site, Ashley Madison, was hacked into, and apparently the records are now under threat. There are 37 million people whose records may risk being exposed. And mainly these people are from Canada and USA. And just last week, I had on the show Dr. Malini Weserman, and she just launched a book talking about cyber infidelity. And actually, her book is based on research on Ashley Madison. So this is something that I just wanted to mention just before the show starts, and listeners may be interested to listen to that recording from last week. So, Lee, if you could just briefly comment what you think about this piece of news that has just happened.
Absolutely. I'm a big believer in people having the rights for anonymous opportunities to be able to explore their authentic self, whether it is, you know, posting on an internet forum, talking about a sexual fantasy that they haven't built up a readiness to talk to a partner about yet, whether it's writing in their own journals at home, spaces where there is no judgment based on your name. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, my father works in cybersecurity. And he has pointed out that if people are using anything like Google, Yahoo, Hotmail, any of those forums, they're not secure. Most of the internet is not a secure modality for communication. It takes a lot to have it be something truly anonymous. And that desire for anonymity needs to really be considered alongside those things. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a delicate balance for people to just take a moment right now and consider, if they are approaching those things with an anonymous desire, how are they doing that, and are they safely protecting themselves?
Indeed, indeed. There's also, I've read reports of how people are being oust and exposed before they are ready to come out. So I mm-hmm. think anonymity is a big topic, as well as cybersecurity.
Absolutely.
Mm. So, sorry.
Please. No, please.
No, go ahead.
I was going to comment that this can be an opportunity for people to have that first brave moment to say to a lover, to say to a friend, I have been exploring this thing. I have been doing this. And as much as we don't want these things to happen, to take this as an opportunity for a next step of personal expansion.
Great. Yeah, this is something that we should all be thinking about during this time. So let's moving on to the show. Today we'll be exploring more about sex, gender, orientation, sexual behavior, or romance, intimacy, and relationship styles. So let's go into this topic. What are the differences for you, and what are the lines that exist?
So people are talking about this in the news right now a lot because of Caitlyn Jenner and bravery that she has exposed in her gender transition in a public light, because she lives in a world where, you know, taking that privacy around transition, gender transition, can only go so far, since she does live in a spotlight. And so there was a bravery that has been involved in her transition that other transgender people may or may not experience. And during her acceptance speech on the ESPN Awards, if for those who have not watched that video, it is beautiful. As a transsexual man myself, I had trepidation around watching it, where, you know, that idea that she was winning a bravery award, how do I fit with that? How do I feel about her being labeled that? And the way that she presented that information, as though it was a brave step for her, it was every single day a brave step for every transgender or transsexual person to walk their personal authentic path, was a really touching message. And also the idea that the actions taken by any leader, whether they're in the sports community or in the world at large, are looked up to by the youth of tomorrow and their peers of today. And so encouraging them to find love and compassion and have personal evolution and growth in their path helps affect the journey of the entire planet. And having Caitlyn bring that message was deeply touching. So that's one of the reasons it's in the news today, along with Times News articles like the one that about Laverne Cox that came out back in June of 2014. Allowed for this dialogue to be more and more transparent, especially in North America. So I think I just want to, for people who aren't aware why that's in the news right now, I wanted to make sure that was an awareness.
There's no ways to miss this piece of news. And the acceptance award speech video has been going around social media a lot. So I believe this is something really positive, because she's also a celebrity herself. Yeah. And she has very famous children. So it's really good, you know, a positive one step forward for humanity, I feel.
Yeah. So transgender is an umbrella term. It's something that really needs to be considered first. That transgender can include under it people who are transsexual, where it is a medical experience specifically around transitioning from one gender to another. Some people use that term transsexual, some people don't, who have that journey. It can include people who are agendered, people who don't identify with gender at all, people who identify as Caitlyn Jenner's journey, which is M2F, male to female, my journey, which is F2M, female to male, people who are gender fluid that move back and forth between gender expressions, people who identify as a third gendered experience, people who identify perhaps as a gender variant, people who identify as androgynous or gender nonconforming, some people who think of themselves as being gender benders. There are those individuals who identify as butch or femme, and transsexual activist and lawyer Spencer Bergstadt recently said to me in a really beautiful way that they think of butch and femme as individuals who are masculine embracing or feminine embracing individuals, often of that same gender, but not always, who have had a conscious look at the ways they play their gender expression. Because all, every single one of us, when we wake up in the morning and go, oh, I'm going to get dressed in a dress because I'm a woman, there's a difference between doing it unconsciously and doing it as a, wow, I acknowledge and have looked at every parts of how women are treated in our culture at large, how women are expected to wear dresses, how sometimes women are punished for not wearing dresses, have looked at all of the messages I was told as a child about both my gender and dresses, and today I am going to choose to put on this dress for me because I enjoy how I look and how I feel in this dress and how I play with femininity in my identity and my culture. Mm-hmm. So those ideas around gender too. Mm-hmm. So transgender is this huge umbrella. Mm-hmm. Some people also include people who have activities around gender. So for example, people who are transvestites or cross-dressers, people who wear the clothing of an opposite gender, who are drag queens, men who dress up in women's clothing as a high performance level, not necessarily how women wear their clothes in day-to-day life, but on the theatricality level of idealization of woman, or as drag kings, people who use the idealized perception and presentation of men and play with those spaces. So transgender is this huge umbrella term. And that doesn't even bring into play people who are two-spirited, people who are hijra, people who are ergi, and many, many other terms of native populations that express a gender that's beyond those ones already stated.
So this is absolutely fascinating, and we'll continue to explore more after this break.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Dr. Kevin here, and I want to invite you every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, to join me on the Dr. Kevin Show, where we have a diversity of guests who help you step outside the box, behind the curtain, and see what a load of crap is going on in the world today, so you have more information with which to make better decisions. We'll see you there. Namaste.
If you remember living fearlessly, joyfully, and in a world filled with adventure, happiness, pleasure, and unbridled living, then this show is for you. Join me, Dame Nicole Brandon, as I bring you the world's top experts in wealth, creativity, flow, seat edging technology, space, wellness, health, love, lust, and passion, all merging together each week here at the Hub of Happiness. Mondays at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Passionate Living, where you can ride on the magic carpet ride of living and learn how to lead a passionately wild, exciting, and outrageously amazing life.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle. The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back to Eros Evolution, where sexuality and spirituality meets. Today's show is titled Gender and Trans Talk with Lee Harrington. And Lee has published many books, including Sacred Kink, The Eightfold Paths of BDSM and Beyond, and More Shibari You Can Use, Passionate Rope Bondage and Intimate Connection. He's also had essays on gender published in Trans People in Love, as well as Double H, The Intersection of Transgender and BDSM. His website is Passion and Soul. Just before the break, Lee was actually beginning to explain all the terminology that goes into transgender and transsexuality, this big umbrella that is not just what we imagine is binary, which is heterosexuals and homosexuals. There's actually this whole spectrum, including agender, and then there's M to F, F to M, gender fluidity, third gender, gender variant. So these are all terms that perhaps we have not heard about. And I love what he's mentioned about the conscious way in which they choose to play and show up in the world that we live in. It's very much about the choice. And I believe choices make us feel really powerful. And therefore, this is why I believe some of them, people who are transgender or people who identify as different from the majority of the population, they actually come across as much more authentic and even powerful. So welcome back to the show, Lee.
Thank you. I do want to address before I go on a comment that could be confused from what you just said around the notion of choice, and the concept that every transgender person explores and acknowledges their place and whatnot in gender. There are the bulk, actually, of transgender people I meet, especially individuals who are aware of their experience from a very young age. It's not done from a conscious choice. It's done from a place, perhaps, of exploring, am I broken? Am I wrong? In that kind of way. But there's lots of children who can, from, you know, 2, 3, 4 years old, can say, no, really, I'm a boy. I'm a girl. No, really, I don't like either of these words. Neither of them work for me. There's, and so the idea that it is a choice, there are those individuals who do actively choose the paths that are authentic to them. There are others that it just fits so wrong in their skin that they choose to commit suicide rather than to be told one more time or be beaten literally one more time for doing gender wrong.
Yes.
I think that's something that really needs acknowledged on why this is such a big topic.
Yeah.
14% of the transgender population has considered, has actively considered suicide as a path. And not taking a nod to that and acknowledging that pain and suffering, and that we have a planet right now that has created that place of suffering, is profound.
Yeah.
For me, part of the opportunity that we as a world of large have in this current awareness building exercise that we as a planet are experiencing is a chance to create a place where love and compassion and awareness is constructed, that those situations don't happen. And every one of us listening has a chance in our own personal evolution and growth to think about these things and go, oh, what ways can I create a safer and more loving planet? What ways can I help evolve myself and the world?
Beautiful. Yeah, it's important to talk about this because when we talk about choice, it does come across that, you know, they can choose not to be versus this is what they were born to be. And this was the way they were born. They don't know any other way to be. And when they don't feel accepted and approved, this is when a lot of problems can happen, including what you mentioned, bullying, getting beaten up, and then even, unfortunately, suicide. I love your appeal to the listeners to really begin to become engaged and aware of such problems that we have and how they can actually make an impact in the world that we live in.
Absolutely. The other thing that really needs to be considered is that notion of the world is more complex than homosexual and heterosexual. In the concept, the issue and conversation, I should say, around transgenderism, the conversation is really, it is more complex than men are born boys and women are born girls. Mm. You pick up a baby, you go, oh, it's a baby boy. I always find it fascinating that when parents say, oh, I hope it's a boy, I hope it's a girl. I was so touched the first time I heard a friend of mine said, when people said, what are you hoping it will be? Mm. And she said, healthy.
Mm.
And my heart was so deeply touched.
Mm.
As who at the time was identifying as bi-gendered, that at home I presented as a man and in public I presented as a woman.
Mm.
And was dancing happily in that space.
Mm.
At the time. Mm. When she said that, my heart just echoed with that love.
Mm.
Echoed with that feeling of, oh, that's the place I want the world to be in, that we go, oh, I hope my baby is happy.
Yeah.
I hope my baby is loved.
Yeah. Yeah, on that note, I just wanted to share very briefly how a cousin of mine, she posted on her Facebook just maybe a year ago asking, oh, what am I going to do? My boy prefers pink. And just few weeks ago, really, I saw her at an event, and now her boy is maybe about 2, and she starts shaming him in front of us, the relatives, saying, oh, yeah, you know, shame, shame, you whine like a girl, you shouldn't be doing this, you know, you're a boy, you know. And then this poor little boy actually looks confused, and he is definitely absorbing these messages of how his behavior is not acceptable because he's a boy. And this causes a lot of problems for young children and then later adults.
Absolutely. Men are taught in our cultures that they're supposed to not show emotion, that they are supposed to be stoic and strong, that they are supposed to like cruelty, like anger, like frustration, like violence,
mm.
and then we are mad at them when they become 30 years old and are hurting people.
Mm.
It's a very strange thing that we do, that we tell women, oh, you're supposed to, you know, you can't, like, I have a dear friend of mine who was told, you're a woman, you can't possibly be a doctor, by her parents.
Mm.
And that she was shamed by her parents for wanting to go into the sciences, because women should want to find a nice husband who should perhaps be a doctor.
Mm.
She should support him in his path because she's not being womanly.
Yeah, it's a big problem. I mean, for us, for me personally, because I'm Singaporean Chinese, so being Asian, I have had all kinds of messages growing up, and basically, the messages stopped me from living life in my full potential, and I didn't have that point of reference that there are people who can live their lives more fully. So even though there are other people now that I've grown up, know that there are my counterparts who didn't have those messages and they're doing so much better, I actually realized that the messages I received actually stopped me from being able to be more successful than I could have been because I had absorbed all those messages. So this would definitely apply to the way we see our gender roles, our sexual behavior, and even later on our relationships.
Absolutely. And acknowledging and accepting your gender roles doesn't mean that women can't like pink and can't simultaneously be strong. Sometimes a story that, oh, well, if you want to be seen as strong, stop wearing girly colors. And the answer is no. If what you like is girly colors, you like pink, you like ruffles, whatever that means to you, whether that is girly or just pretty in your head, you can be that and be powerful at the same time. And I think there's sometimes a shaming that ends up coming unintentionally around gender that says, that if you really want to be taken seriously, then you need to just stop being girly. And that's a form of shaming too.
Yeah. So this topic of gender and trans talk really doesn't just stay with people who are, in the spectrum. That's also is very applicable to listeners who identify as heterosexual and they may not see the relevance. The kind of messages we say, the kind of thinking that we have really starts to do a number of the way we view society and the way it should be. I'm glad that, people like you, Lee, is able to speak up so that for people who don't really see any kind of modeling, there are actually people out there like you who are actually speaking up and able to articulate this very important topic.
And when we come back, I would love to talk about the idea of the use of the word heterosexual in this conversation. Because sexuality and gender are very different topics.
Great. So more after this break. So we're just going to come into break where we will be talking about heterosexuality and gender. So far, we've been exploring the topic of gender and we've been exploring the topic of gender roles and the different kinds of identities that people have with regards to their sexuality.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Live with Medium Lisa Phoenix, Mediumship Messages and Musings explores mediumship and all things metaphysical. Lisa Phoenix invites you to reach above and beyond your everyday experiences to explore new dimensions in the spirit world. She will do live readings to connect callers to their loved ones in spirit, shares engaging stories and teachings from her own personal experience, and will have intriguing conversations with other mediums, spiritual teachers, and healers to help you understand the metaphysical world so you can connect to these forces in your day-to-day life. Join your host on this magical and metaphysical journey into the world of spirit every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
You are listening to Eros Evolution on the Om Times Radio Network, and you can share this show with your friends by sending them the link omtimes.com/mobile. Our mobile player is so advanced, it doesn't need any app. You just need the link. Share it with your friends. They will love it. So we are talking about gender and trans, and basically we have Lee Harrington with us today, and he has a new book that will be coming out in September. It's a poetry collection called On Starry Thighs: Sacred and Sensual Poetry. This would include poetry on gender, spirituality, sexuality, and identity exploration. So follow Lee's work by going to passionandsoul.com. You will also be able to find his travel and teaching schedule on his website, as well as past experience appearances. And you probably might remember me mentioning that he also has his own podcast. So please be sure to check out his website, passionandsoul.com. So coming back to the show, we are talking about heterosexuality and gender. So Lee, take it away.
Thank you. It was really interesting for me when I started exploring these topics that there was and has continued to be a confusion around sexuality and gender. Mm. Gender is how a person experiences their own gender and gender experience. I am a man. I am a woman. I am neither. I am both. I'm something in between. I don't know. This is about I. It is who I am, how I move in the world. Orientation is around heterosexuality. I am attracted to somebody of the opposite gender. Homosexuality, I am attracted to someone of the same gender. Bisexuality, I am attracted to people of both genders. Sapiosexual, I am attracted to people who are intelligent, and what is between their legs does not matter to me in any way. It matters if we have a shared intellectual stimulation. These are about who I am attracted to, who you are, who I want. Maybe it's asexual. I don't want anyone in a sexual way, but deep friendships appeal to me. And so there is a difference between who I am and who I want to be with. Mm. So I think that really needs to be considered, because when people say, she's gay, well, what does that mean to you? Are you saying that she is a woman who likes other women? Then she is gay. Or she is a lesbian, or whatever language she is using for herself. Mm. If she happens to be a transsexual woman, she was born male and is now a woman, and she is attracted to a woman, it is easy to argue that she is no longer heterosexual, because she is now with a woman and is now homosexual. But this also goes, that's about who I'm attracted to. There is a thicker layer of it, though, which layers on culture. There are some cultures in the United States, where I am based, where it doesn't matter where I am in my gender journey. It matters who I am attracted to and who my history is. So there are many transsexual women who consider themselves still to be gay because they started out as men in the men's community, attracted to men, and still stay attracted to men. And so therefore still considers themselves gay. But at the end of the day, sexuality is about who I am attracted to and want to have sex with. Sexuality has nothing to do directly, except culturally, with who I am as a person. So you could have somebody who is gay, who is of any gender background. And for some people, that gender background is simply a medical reality. There are many transgender men I know that don't talk about these things at all. There's a book coming out in October called Gay and Lesbian History for Kids from Chicago Review Press. And they are, I unfortunately don't have the card in front of me, but I'm being blessed right now to get to review it for their project.
Great.
One of the things they talk about is that during the American Civil War, there were 1,000 women who fought during the American Civil War, even if it was illegal for women to fight. Some did it out of patriotism, but some were not discovered to have been, quote, women, until after they were buried.
Oh.
People did not know, either on the battlefield or 40, 50 years later.
Mm.
There were cases of transgender men. There's one case that's spoken of that is that was a transgender man whose wife and three children said, "Can we please prepare the body at home?" And they, and you know, the law said, "No, everybody has to have their body prepared by, you know, by our coroner." And that was the only time when anyone found out, because it was just their history. No one else needed to know. That was their private thing.
Yeah.
For other people, their gender is something they literally wear on their sleeves. I have a very dear friend of mine down in Australia who actually his trans identity, even though he, quote, passes all of the time, he has literally translated the word trans on one arm because his visibility as a trans person is very important to him. But each person, their medical truths there are their journey. And even the language of passing is really damaging because it infers that I'm hiding something.
Mm-hmm.
That idea that, you know, oh, well, if you're not out about the fact that you're transsexual, there's an excuse that if I end up in bed with you and you have different genitalia than I expected, it's acceptable to be violent.
Mm.
And that's not true. It happens to be part of their personal identity. It happens to be part of their personal gender journey. And the fact that they're attracted to you is about that they're attracted to you. And it's not an affront to your manhood, an affront to your womanhood if what you show up with in your bed is different than, or the person you're dating, if you haven't gotten in bed with them, is different than what you expected.
Mm-hmm.
It's an opportunity for self-evaluation about what am I attracted to? Who am I attracted to? And is that about the shape of the genitals between their legs? Or is it about their energy, their spirit, the way we connect as individuals, that beauty we have between us?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an opportunity for personal evolution in this revolution that we're facing right now.
Beautiful. I think there are people who confuse that gender has a lot to do with what sexual organs you have. So that's why you use the word medically. I think it's important to use whatever terminology people would like to be identified with, just out of respect, because I believe words have meaning and power, and it's important to pay the respect that people deserve just because of whatever they prefer to be called.
And part of that, for every person, transgender or not, if we say men are only men if they have a minimum of a 4-inch erect phallus, invalidates the manhood of men who have erectile dysfunction, invalidates the manhood of men who have a 1-inch phallus, or men who don't have one at all for various medical reasons.
Mm.
I think it invalidates the womanhood of women who don't have a vaginal opening that opens very well, if at all, that can't be penetrated. It says to those women, you're not really a woman.
Mm.
For women who can't give birth, it says you're not really a woman anymore.
Mm.
And I think there's an opportunity again here to really go, oh, do those things make me a woman, make me a man? Or is there something more cosmic than that, more grand than that?
Mm. So this is where the spirituality and sexuality is being discussed here on Eros Evolution.
And that's why I love this platform, is it's an opportunity for conversations that you are creating that aren't happening other places.
Mm.
Because there is right now, for some people, this is a shock.
Mm.
The entire conversation is a shock. It's a transition and consciousness for everyone.
Yeah.
That for some people it's like, oh, I've been used to my whole life these straight lines of what gender is. Mm. I am so used to boy and girl. Mm. What do you mean there's something bigger than that? Mm. And that doesn't make you a bad person. And if you're learning about this person who's learning about this for the first time, it means that you're growing right now too. And that involves growing pains and compassion for yourself.
Mm. Yeah. You know, nowadays with social media, more people, more advocates are coming forward and speaking their messages, and it can be very difficult for some people to navigate, and it's important to start becoming aware and have this kind of dialogues that we have on this show going, so people who don't know where else to go can start exploring it. And I'm so glad that you are here on this show.
Thank you. I would encourage people who, if you are growing with these things, to also have an awareness around the culture you are dancing in. If you're in North America, really looking at how we look at what I would consider Caucasian cultures and privileged cultures, as compared to individuals who are Black or Latina, who are living on the street, because the bulk of violence that's happening is for predominantly transgender women who are under or unemployed. That if you look at websites like Transgender Day of Remembrance, that if you go to sites like that, the bulk of people, transgender people who have been literally killed, are coming from in Africa, are coming in South America, because there's not rights in the same ways as there are in other countries. So to really evaluate where you're coming from and what biases you're speaking from in this conversation, Caitlyn Jenner is a great spokesperson, but she only learned about other transgender people a couple of years ago.
Mm.
Compared to voices like Laverne Cox or Janet Mock that are transsexual women in the originally from the African-American community that are speaking louder, that have been involved with this for a much longer period of time and have a much more diverse voice, absolutely worth listening to.
Mm. Yeah. More about trans terminology after this break. Thank you.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Hi, this is Angela Levesque, host of Entanglement Radio. Join me Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science and conscious healing. Entanglement Radio, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern. Transcendent talk for the conscious mind.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com. And change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake. The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
We are now into the last segment of Eros Evolution this week, and we are talking with Lee Harrington, who is an internationally known spiritual and erotic authenticity educator, gender explorer, eclectic artist, and award-winning author and editor on human, erotic, and secret experience. You can find him on passionandsoul.com. Just before a break, we were talking a lot about the definition of sexual orientation and gender and the importance of how all of us can make a difference in the world that we live in with the ways that we communicate and having the language and understanding. And it starts from all of us being more aware and curious about these topics. So let's go on and now explore something else. How can people engage and be compassionate while engaging with transgender individuals? For some of you, this terminology that we're throwing at you in today's show is maybe completely new to you, and you're probably having lots to think about. But how can you begin to engage with them?
Well, for me, the first question that I tend to have for individuals is, are you open right now, or are you available right now? Those are two different questions. For me to ask a couple of something about your gender journey. Because if I come in straight out with questions and somebody's in the middle of having lunch or talking to someone else, it's not compassionate. It's not loving. It's not asking them if they're available. So that's the first thing I lead in with. Are you available? Can I ask you some questions? The second is, consider whether you would find it rude if somebody else asked you that question yourself. When I'm at academic lectures, I'm always fascinated when people come up to me afterwards and say, so have you had bottom surgery? Have you had surgery between your legs? The answer that I now give is, are you asking because you're curious about the diversity of surgical and medical opportunities available for people who are transsexual and transgendered? Or are you asking because you'd like to have sex with me? Well, because, and it's amazing because a lot of people have that same nervous laugh, right? But it's really interesting because you wouldn't ask other people about that question. You wouldn't ask somebody else that you've just met about that question.
Yeah, it's a bit rude.
It is a bit rude. But most people who are asking it are curious.
Yeah.
They want to know you better is what they mean to do. And so if you're trying to engage with someone, instead saying something like, I know there's a lot of stuff out there, but I'm curious, did you ever, what was it like for you to make decisions around things? And that's more of a question you ask somebody you've gotten to know for a while, if they're even open to it. Transgender activist Raven Caldera has a hilarious and yet depressing post on his website about the idea that every transsexual person is going to be a transsexual activist for the rest of their life, which is why a lot of people who transition choose not to tell people that they are, because they don't want to have to be that 101 educator every day of their life.
Yeah, it's tiring.
It can be really tiring. Why asking people if they're available for those questions is part of the compassion. I'm also a big believer in asking people how they want to be addressed. What honorifics do they prefer? What pronouns do they prefer? Because with some genderqueer individuals or non-gendered individuals, their answer might be they in the singular, in the English language. Their answer might be something other than he, she. There are words out there like Z. And even though it might be tempting to say, oh, well, you know, I've never done that before, you know, I'm just going to do this instead, not actually listening to their request. And if you're asking the question, or if somebody shares with you this is what they prefer, it's what they prefer, and it is an act of love, compassion, and more than all those, respect to do what they want, because their choice in their gender experience is not about you. It's not about you. It's about them and their journey, and so respecting them and their journey goes a long way. I think those are the places I would start, with an acknowledgement and awareness of even saying up front, thank you so much for sharing that with me. I will absolutely try to do that. Will you bear with me if I drop it a couple of times, if I mess up a couple of times. Mm. When I've had people say that to me with that place of love and compassion, and they're honestly trying, I'm more likely to say, when I was earlier on my gender transition and people didn't know, or people were, quote, new to it, when they said that to me, I was more likely to be like, just to remind you, he. Just to remind you, he. Mm-hmm. As compared to people who were purposefully doing it, or saying, when I corrected them, saying, yeah, yeah, it's not my fault. Those are different places to respond from and to give from.
Mm. Beautiful. Yeah, and it's not about you, it's about them.
Yeah, an awareness too that it is a transition for you. So some compassion for yourself as well, as if you stumble through these things, because sometimes we do. It's part of the human experience. Sometimes we stumble, try really, really hard, but once in a while you might stumble. And to have that self-compassion as well, to be like, you know what? I know they're frustrated. I know I'm frustrated. Take a moment to breathe. Try again.
Mm.
Instead of saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, when you mess up on someone's pronoun, to just be, thank you, and you try again. Mm. Or just go forward with the correct pronoun without putting a giant spotlight on it. Because when you put a giant spotlight on it, it makes it back to being about you, not about them.
Mm. Yeah, indeed. I remember I messed up quite a bit when the person in front of me looks male but wants to be identified as female, for instance, and then I keep using the wrong pronoun, but I'm trying, you know, because what I see and what I'm meant to say just feels so different for me. It's actually this transition you're talking about feels awkward. And even as I begin to look apologetic in my eyes, the very fact that I'm trying actually helps the person to feel seen. And that was more important than getting it right at first.
Absolutely. Yeah. And my latest podcast with a Latina gender and journey activist named Xochi Quetzal, who's Mexican-American, and she was talking about the idea that one of the most important things for people, whether it's around their race or around their sexuality or around their gender, is that act of being seen.
Mm.
And every human being wants to be seen. And so creating that opportunity to see people is so empowering and so beautiful.
Beautiful. So we have maybe about 4 minutes left. Is there anything else you would like to add to the show? Anything else for listeners?
Absolutely. I would love to have people be aware that right now the language around transgenderality and transsexuality is shifting at lightning speed.
Mm.
It has shifted with more words and more definitions in the last 15 years than it took homosexuality to shift over the course of 150 years, because homosexual wasn't used in a written form until 1868, I believe.
Mm.
And so, like, that language is shifting at such high speed.
Mm.
It's also becoming, unfortunately, overtaken by a predominantly English-speaking, predominantly internet-accessible and therefore privileged population. And so instead of usurping the language that is used, you know, say in the United States, those African-American and Latina populations who are saying, no, I'm gay and I'm a trans woman, instead of saying, no, you're wrong, you're heterosexual now, instead of saying you're wrong, here are the words they're using.
Mm.
In Native populations around the world, use the words they're using.
Mm.
In languages other than English, listen to the wisdom of the words you have and have access to.
Mm.
Because I speak English, and the language I am using is coming from an English American background.
Mm.
And so look at the words and availability of language around you, because there is wisdom that is not being presented in what I am presenting today. Mm. Don't let the voice of you know, an internet generation that is speaking so passionately to have their words seen, invalidate the words of others. That's what I would encourage.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on this show. I feel gifted to get to come on and share this information.
Yeah, it's, you know, I know you've been teaching for a long time, and I can't think of anybody who I know of who can articulate what you just shared on this show today as well as you just did. And it's such a gift, and I hope many people will listen to this show and get educated so that they can go on and help heal more hearts and lives, because I hope, you know, the people listening to this show are the more enlightened, more conscious, the more compassionate people, and they want to do it right by other people. So thank you.
It's a gift. Thank you.
So next week we have another guest. Her name is Serena Gaia, and she will be talking about how ecology is going to be important. And so the title of the show is Make Love the Ecology of Your Life. She'll be talking about her book, Ecosexuality. And you are listening to Eros Evolution, where sexuality and spirituality meet. You can find out more about us by going to Om Times Radio, looking up Eros Evolution. And I actually also have a Facebook page called Eros Evolution. And remember, today's guest has been Lee Harrington, and you can go to his website as well, called passionandsoul.com. So tune in next week.